Welcome to Today's Issues. Join us for the next hour as we offer a Christian response to the issues of the day.
And good Thursday morning, everyone. Fred Jackson here, sitting in for Tim and Walker and Ed. I don't know, something I said, these guys are not here today. No, they're taking a well-deserved break, and we'll soon be back again, but being a pleasure to be here. And I'm back in the main studio too, which is, we've been away from here for a couple of months, doing my portion, at least from a studio down the hall, doing our part for separation during the pandemic. So good to be with you today. And joining me as usual on Tuesdays and Thursdays is Dr. Ray Pritchard from Kansas City.
Checking in from planet Pluto. We're still social distancing up here. So yes. I am in my bunker studio in my basement, but all is well.
All is well. Having a little bit of rain here, we hear.
Yeah.
At your place.
We have been soaked for several days, but they tell us if we can just make it through this day, the sun is going to return tomorrow. So very happy about that.
Looking forward to a nice weekend, I bet, and getting back on the bike and all of that.
Absolutely. I've been off my bike most of the week, but tomorrow, sunshine, back on the trail.
All right. And to keep us up to date on news today is our reporter from American Family News, Chris Woodward.
Good morning.
Yeah, good to have you with us this morning.
Thank you very much. I've had my fourth pot of coffee, ready to go.
You are ready to go, just ready to bounce
out. Amped! Yes.
Well, I came in this morning, and the big story that was being talked about on most of the major news networks was another night of rioting in Minneapolis. You can go to onenewsnow.com, and we have several videos there of what was going on last night. This all in connection with the death on Monday of 46-year-old George Floyd, an African-American man. You probably have seen the videos by now. Four police officers in that city have been fired in the wake of how they handled that arrest.
Right.
And the subsequent death of Mr. Floyd. I think it is safe to say at this point, given the information that we have seen, that the firings were a good first move.
Sure.
But we do have the rioting. It was not only in Minneapolis last night, but also in Los Angeles, in Memphis, Tennessee. And the rioting included in Minneapolis breaking into a Target store, looting there, stealing TVs, et cetera, et cetera. I want to begin with an assessment of the arrest. And this is going to be an ongoing story for many months, folks. The FBI is now involved in the investigation and how the police handled this. But Dan Bongino was on Fox and Friends this morning. He goes beyond being a regular contributor. He's an ex-military guy, ex-CIA trainer, ex-police officer.
Right.
So he knows a whole lot about how these sorts of incidents should be handled. And I was very interested in giving and wanting our audience to hear what his assessment, given what he knows right now, of how the police officers handled this situation with this dear man, George Floyd. Cut number two.
This is key. Look, his left knee is on the neck. I want you to look at his right foot. His right foot is moving. Having spent 20 years ground fighting in jiu-jitsu, that should tell you something. That should tell you that his weight is not balanced on his right foot because his right foot's moving. Where's his weight? On his left knee, on his neck. I mean, no, I'm surprised he's lived 6 minutes. I'm genuinely stunned he lived that long. There's no excuse for this. Listen to me. The golden rule, when the handcuffs are on and the resistance stops, it's over. The fight is
gotcha.
Over. These are professional law enforcement officers. That's it. End of story.
And over again, it's been said, we have to be careful always in these incidents that admitting there are police officers who do the wrong thing, do not handle situations well. The vast majority of police officers, Dan Bongino, many others who say the vast majority carry out their job in a very professional fashion. But it would appear, Ray, at this point, looking at these videos and assessing what we know right now, the FBI getting involved, that this was just a terrible incident handled poorly by these police officers.
You know, I want to add also, Fred, that President Trump weighed in on this yesterday and extended his sympathy to the family of this man. It's just, you know, we always want to say, and your comments are very well spoken, we want to wait until all the facts are in. But the biggest fact is you can see for yourself what's going on that video, that something snapped, something went wrong. It was a horrific way for this man to die. And Fred and Chris, I don't see how somebody isn't going to go to jail for what happened here. I think the firing's not going to be sufficient. There clearly is going to be some charges filed, and I think somebody's got to answer for this.
Yeah, to use Dan Bongino's words, it's not the end of the story, for sure. As Fred mentioned briefly in the start of the show, the Department of Justice does plan what it's describing a robust probe with an FBI legal team as rioting fires and looting grips in Minneapolis and other parts of the country. I would be shocked if we didn't see similar acts of violence or rioting, whatnot, in other parts of the country, kind of that have yet to see this yet. Mm-hmm. But as far as the rioting and the fires and the looting goes, things like that, we do have some additional sound here. Speaking on Hannity last night, Fox News personality Lawrence Jones said people need to let the system work and stop it with the anarchy. Clip one.
There should not be anarchy. There should not be rioting, but it should be swift justice as well. And I understand the pain, but I would encourage people to, if you're going to protest, do it peacefully and don't cause more issue. Your mom and dads are at home and they want you to come home alive. You have a whole life ahead of you. Let the system do its job. Now, if the system does not do its job, then we need to have a conversation, but at least allow the investigation to take place.
Yeah, Jones makes a very good point, because anarchy as a response to something like this really never works. And I believe it was in Minneapolis last night. As part of the rioting, another man was killed. Mm-hmm. There is some speculation that a store owner, in an effort to protect his property, may have shot and killed an individual. So this just doesn't work. As Lawrence Jones, as Bongino is saying, let the system try to work its way through this. Mm-hmm.
Well, and one thing to point out as far as the system, too, you're doing all this damage to businesses that had nothing to do with mm-hmm. the situation.
Right.
And what does that mean? That means there's going to be less revenue coming in to fund the system that does need to work and decide all these things. So you're going to have police departments having less money now. You're going to have court systems having less money now. On top of all of the funding we've already lost because of COVID-19 mm-hmm. and the restrictions put in place by government and their response to it. So all of this is going to impact a community that's already troubled.
Yeah.
And it will have a lasting effect. You guys may remember in Ferguson, Missouri.
Yes. Yes.
There were a lot of people damaging businesses and breaking windows, and many of them were minority-owned businesses. It stands to reason some of these businesses in the Minneapolis area or LA or Memphis or whatnot are minority owned businesses. And that person had nothing to do with this. I would venture to guess that, like a lot of Americans from many ethnicities, those business owners see the concern here and feel for George Floyd and his family, but now their business is going to be hurting and you're impacting their family and their kids.
Yes.
Well, I see people on the internet saying justice for George Floyd. And we want that, right? For the sake of his family, we want that. And the system has got to, it's got to produce that justice down the road. It's going to take some time. But I think any reasonable person can see, you can want justice for George Floyd and deplore what is happening in these riots, because there's no connection between looting a Target and providing justice for George Floyd. Those are two completely different things.
One thing we can do for sure is pray for the family of George mm-hmm. Floyd. They are hurting right now, regardless of how other people are reacting to this. So let's remember the family of George Floyd. Wisdom to those who will investigate this, and that justice will be done. That is the main thing in all of this. All right, Chris, moving on to some other news. There were some unemployment claim figures that came out this morning.
Right.
As we continue as a country to work our way through this pandemic.
Another 2 million plus Americans filed for unemployment claims due to the coronavirus and the government's response to the outbreak, things like that. The good news, if we can call it that, is that the number of Americans filing for unemployment claims continues to go down. It's nowhere near the 6 million plus that we had in late March, I think it was. The number continues to go down, but we have tens of millions of Americans that are without jobs. Now, one other positive here is that a lot of these people, when asked by researchers and pollsters, things like that, they do believe they're going to have a job at some point again in the very near future, which is among the reasons why the stock market continues to do well. I was telling the guys before the show here, it's not often that you see headlines of millions of Americans without a job and the economy doing poorly GDP-wise, and the stock market be up. Now, to quote the immortal words of AFA President Tim Wildman, stocks go up and stocks go down. But at the moment, the Dow was up 91 points, the NASDAQ 46, the S&P 13. I would venture to guess that we'll continue to do well throughout the day stocks-wise based on the optimism that things are starting to reopen business-wise and things of that nature. Speaking of businesses reopening, Virginia, a lot of businesses and whatnot are going to start reopening slowly with restrictions and things like that. But for those not aware, perhaps even our listeners in the great state of Virginia, Governor Northam wants people to wear masks or other face coverings when they're out in public starting tomorrow.
Like everywhere you go?
If you're out in public in the state of Virginia, you were supposed to be wearing a mask or a face covering of some sort.
Ray, now, I would suggest not taking your bike to Virginia because
it's a long trek.
It's a real tough thing to exercise outside with a mask on.
Sure.
It's tough enough to wear a mask in general, especially if you wear one of those N95s, right?
Right.
I mean, if you wear it and it's fitting right, it's hard enough to breathe with those masks. To think about doing any kind of exercise, much less getting on a bike. And Fred, I have seen one or two people, so some do that here in the Kansas City area, but that's really, really hard to do. So is this, okay, Chris, is this what the governor's saying? Is it a law? Is it an advisory? Could you be arrested or ticketed somehow?
I'm not sure as to the direct answer for as far as the punishment goes. It's basically, it amounts to an executive order. I declare people wear masks when they're out in public, and the governor says it's to, you know, combat the spread.
Meaning if you're going to go to Walmart or Target or
sure.
CVS or wherever that – or Walgreens, you're supposed – or I suppose if you're going to church, he's saying you should wear a mask when you go out of the house, right?
Yes. Yeah, it does. Wow. It does mean indoor venues as well, public places, indoors, outdoors, things of that nature. Now – as we have talked about on this program and we've covered on American Family News and OneNewsNow.com, not everybody's a fan of the masks. Some people do say it's hard to breathe, whatever you're doing. Uh-huh. Other people say it's a restriction of their freedoms, liberties, things like that. I did speak with an attorney yesterday. This lady is Molly McCann. She wrote an article in The Federalist, and she told AFN and OneNewsNow.com that mandatory masks are not about safety. They're about social control. Clip 5.
The blue state push to require masks across the population, it's meant to extend the sense amongst the public that we are still in a state of emergency. Remember, the executive and local authorities, local executives and state-level executives, governors, they need to maintain a, quote, state of emergency to continue to rule by executive fiat, which is what they've been doing since February or March, whenever our lockdowns began and we declared a state of emergency.
Now, that, again, was an attorney named Molly McCann in the Virginia, Maryland area. She did tell me that she is concerned about, you know, health and things like that, but she's also concerned that this is a restriction on liberty. It's setting the groundwork for other restrictions at some point in the future. And in case you've missed our coverage of these, we have interviewed, you know, doctors from Christian Medical Association and whatnot saying, we do need to wear masks. It would help combat the spread and things like that. So we'll continue to cover these kinds of concerns because Virginia today, you know, Maryland tomorrow, we'll find out.
Ray, I think this is the next chapter of this book on this pandemic. Is are we reaching a point where, like this lawyer, Molly McCann, at least suspicious about the motivation behind forcing people to do this, because it allows the government to say, I'm only trying to save lives, so I'm going to force you to do this. I mean, we've been talking about restrictions on churches meeting, all of this sort of thing. And it, you know, I know there's, you know, conspiracy theorists out there that see everything in the way of, you know, it's Big Brother trying to control my life. But there, I think there are legitimate concerns that I think today we do have people in certain government levels that would like to control the population. And what better way than to apply fear that if you don't do what I'm telling you, you're going to die. You're going to get somebody else sick, get yourself sick.
Well, it's the you're going to kill my grandmother argument.
Yeah.
And I saw somebody here in Kansas City, one of our neighbors, not far from where I am right now, making that argument very, very bluntly. If you don't wear a mask, they didn't say if you don't wear a mask, you want somebody to die. They said if you don't wear a mask, somebody else will die, which that's almost a godlike kind of statement. You can look into the future and guarantee mm-hmm. this. The research is not totally conclusive on this. I mean, we were told at one point, don't wear a mask. We were told to wear a mask. We were told to make it optional. Now in Virginia, you've got to wear mm-hmm. one. It does make you wonder, Chris, if there's not a political agenda going on underneath this. Not for everybody, but it does seem some people truly do want control from the top down to the point of saying, put on a mask or stay home.
Sure. Yeah, it's definitely, you know, a lot of the people that want Governor Northam, for example, a Democrat, right. Not a fan of Trump and his policies, and many Democrats or liberals have wanted the economy to be in bad shape so that way Trump would not be reelected. Mm-hmm. And certainly these kinds of restrictions and things like that have hurt the economy. Now, some of these things were things recommended by President Trump and the members of his coronavirus task force. Speaking of the coronavirus task force, one of the confusing things about this, and we point this out in a story today, you know, Dr. Fauci said back in February, don't bother with masks, just wash your hands. And then he shows up wearing masks, right? And people make a big deal because Fauci's got a mask on, but not the leader of the free world. Deborah Birx, similar situation. In late March, early April, she said masks would give people a false sense of security. And then she shows up wearing a mask. Now, I've had this excused away from various people that I've interviewed saying, well, the data, we're learning more about this. Mm-hmm. To which I would say, can we all just sit down, take a minute, figure out what exactly is going on here, and then put out the guidelines versus the do this, not that. No, we were wrong. Do that, not this. Mm-hmm. Because that's why people are as divided over this, I think, as they are, because we've had so much confusion.
Well, and I think to your point, Chris, let's sit down, have a discussion here. Let's deal with the facts.
Right.
The fact of the matter is we've been told, and I have to agree with this, given what we know now, 2 or 3 months into this, that folks that are 65 years and older, not all, mm-hmm. but many folks in that age category, 65 and above, because we had a story earlier this week, 40% of the deaths in this country have occurred in nursing homes.
Right.
So we know we have a vulnerable population. I remember the governor of Texas, back a couple of weeks ago when they were announcing they were opening up that state, said we're going to target certain areas. And one of them was nursing homes, long-term homes for the elderly, mm-hmm. et cetera, that we know that population is vulnerable, so we're going to be super careful. So I can understand going into a nursing home, it's a good idea, or make it mandatory that you wear a mask.
Right.
Because you know you have a known vulnerable population. But my goodness, you know, the state of Virginia, one of the things I still don't understand, and I see it almost on a daily basis, somebody driving by me in their car by themselves
yes.
wearing a mask. Exactly who?
What's the point?
What is the point of that? I just don't understand
that. Yeah, I've seen it myself.
So let's be reasonable about this. If you're out working in your garden, why in the world would you have a mask on? Mm-hmm. Those kinds of things?
Yeah, there are a lot of people out there. I mean, we had a doctor, we've had doctors tell us for a couple of months now, it's okay to go outside in your yard. You need the sunlight. Right. You need the fresh right. air. Don't worry about the mask. We actually have a story. It's our big story at the moment on onenewsnow.com. It shows a lady wearing a mask in the picture if you go to the website. But this doctor, who was a fan of locking everything down early on, has now changed his tune. Marty McKay, he's with Johns Hopkins. He's a professor and all that stuff. Really medical expert guy. And he was like, you know, I mean, we were kind of wrong to say you should shelter in place and stay inside and don't go anywhere. You need to go outside and get the fresh air or whatever else. So if you are out in your garden and there's not a whole bunch of people around you, it's okay. As far as we've been told and the data shows and all that other stuff, I'm sure tomorrow they'll change their tune and we'll cover that when it happens. Mm-hmm. But it is okay to be outside and to get the, you know, the fresh air and the sunshine. But I've seen people myself here in the Tupelo area driving around solo with a mask on. I think maybe they're just singing in their cars and they don't want to get caught, but we'll find out.
Yeah, that's what happens, Ray, when you're driven by fear and not by facts.
That's exactly right. And when there is, at least with some people, and we want to be careful about this because not everybody's motivated by political questions about this, but clearly, Fred, what you said is true. Some people love power and they love control and they love the fact that they can tell people you've got to wear a mask if you're going to go outside, which is, in the end, it's fear-driven leadership and I think very divisive,
you know,
for our country.
The ironic thing here, too, with Governor Northam saying, you know, it's about saving lives, things like that. Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan, has made similar statements about abortion and being essential in her mind and things like that. These people are pro-abortion. And in Northam's case, was completely fine with the baby dying after it's been born, right? Mm-hmm.
Right?
So why are you concerned about saving lives
Good point.
When you are not concerned about saving grandma's great-grandbaby?
Yeah. And when we look at the situation right now, the push to open states appears to be happening in most Republican-controlled states.
Right.
So there's a political divide here, a philosophy that is really going to have an impact on the economies of these states, depending on what political affiliation your governor is for long term. Now, if the motivation for a Democrat-run state is we're going to make things as miserable as possible for Donald Trump going into the election, but you're hurting your own people by doing that.
Yeah, you're going to jack up taxes. And in California's case, you're going to see people bolting California for other states, maybe even nearby Arizona, Utah, things like that. But you can only tax billionaires so much before they move their operations or they move where else. But it is a concern with, California's economy is somewhere in, the eighth or ninth largest economy in the world, just the state of California itself. Right. So they do need to figure out a way to get things humming again because you are impacting even your own base by keeping things like that.
Well, and as we have noted before, America is opening itself up now.
Yes.
Regardless of what the magistrates and the governors are saying, people are getting out. People are going to the stores, and stores are opening up, whether it's phase one, phase two, or phase three. I think America is voting and saying it is time to open back up again. That's all to the good.
Yeah, the American people are leading where our politicians, unfortunately, many times let us down. Gee, is there something new in there? Has that been going on for a while? All right, you're listening to the Thursday edition of Today's Issues. Fred Jackson sitting in hosting this morning with Ray Pritchard and joined right now by Chris Woodward. Hey, listen, coming up after the break, we're going to be talking to our good friend Jan Markell, host of Understanding the Times, about a big story out of Israel. God TV there has a policy in Hebrew, in its Hebrew language broadcasting, of witnessing to Jewish people, and that has set off a storm of controversy. We'll tell you what that's all about when we come back on this edition of Today's Issues. Don't go away.
We got nothing but Italians on this show.
We're changing lives one question at a time.
Trivia Friday is educational programming.
What big cat can't roar?
That's pathetic.
The mime cat. I've seen them. They got those white gloves on their paws.
You use milk to sweeten your breath.
In the first century.
What happened when the milk soured?
You got trouble.
Yeah, right that's there. A good.
See, you don't get a second date. I'll just tell you that right now.
Trivia Friday, 10 a.m. Central on American Family Radio.
We live in a day when America's families are under attack like never before.
Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of the American Family Association.
The war against biblical principles rages on numerous fronts. The internet, Hollywood, Washington, D.C., America's corporate boardrooms, and the list goes on. At American Family Association, we're committed to standing against the enemies of God, the enemies of your family. And we recognize it's an impossible task without God's favor and your partnership. Thank you for being faithful to pray for this ministry, to give financially, and to respond to our calls for activism. What you do on the home front is crucial to what we do on the battlefront. We praise God for your faithfulness, and may He give us many victories in the battles ahead as we work together to restore our nation's biblical foundations.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
My goal as a teacher is to impart knowledge and then be able then for them to take it and turn it into wisdom. As we teach, I think, okay, 5 years down the road, how will the material that I am teaching them really affect their lives and their careers?
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes. So it turns out the guy in charge of integrity at Twitter once claimed members of the Trump administration were actual Nazis. Yoel Roth is the head of site integrity at Twitter. In 2016, he mocked Middle America, said people in flyover states voted for a racist tangerine. And in 2017, he likened Kellyanne Conway to Nazi propagandist Joseph Goebbels. In January of that year, he said there were actual Nazis in the White House. Now you understand why so many conservatives, including yours truly, are being blocked and banned on Twitter. This is a big deal. In light of Twitter's announcement, they will be fact-checking President Trump's tweets. The president accused the social media powerhouse of meddling in the 2020 election, threatening to strongly regulate or even shut down the social media platform. It's unlikely that threat would hold constitutional muster, but conservatives need to understand they will not get a fair shake on social media. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
And we certainly welcome you back to this Thursday edition of Today's Issues. Fred Jackson sitting in for Tim and Walker and Ed today, and along with me, Dr. Ray Pritchard, and also Chris Woodward from our American Family Newsroom. And we're joined right now by Jan Markell, host of Understanding the Times, heard right here on American Family Radio at 1 p.m. Central on Saturday and on Sunday at 12 noon. Jan, welcome back. We haven't talked to you for a few weeks.
Well, nice to be back, Fred. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Now, we have a topic to talk to you about today, but we're off the top of the show today, we were talking about the riots in Minneapolis last
yes.
night. You're not too far from downtown Minneapolis. What do you hear locally up there about what's going on and the reaction to the death of this this man earlier this week?
Well, obviously, I don't think we know all the details behind what happened to the African-American young man. The police officer, I think, was, well, didn't behave in the best manner to, well, obviously the young man died, so there was very serious situation going on. Mm-hmm. However, I can tell you that a great deal of our downtown Minneapolis is now destroyed. So, you know, again, two wrongs don't make a right. This was a terrible overreaction, and my concern is it's far from over. Mm-hmm. We're going to have more of this throughout the next several days, possibly the next several weeks. But even beyond that, Fred, this is likely to spread across America.
Yes.
So the fact that the police officer certainly was in the wrong in what he did and how he forcibly held that young man down does not justify the fact that huge sections of America might be destroyed here in the long, hot summer ahead.
Yes, and you're right. Those riots have spread, as we noted, to Los Angeles and Memphis last night. So along with praying for the family of this this young man who was killed, George Floyd, let's remember the people of Minneapolis and that peace and common sense can return there to the city that you're very close to there, Minneapolis.
Yeah, and I have to say, part of the issue is these strong Democrat blue cities and states, they encourage some of this. I mean, it's just what liberalism brings about, and of course the social welfare continued handout and almost rewarding of the communities that are behind this is shameful.
Absolutely. Jan, what we wanted to talk to you mainly about today is a controversy surrounding a network, a Christian broadcasting network, God TV. And I guess fairly recently they received permission for a new Hebrew TV channel in Israel.
Yeah.
And the operators of that channel have made it known that they plan, amongst other things, to preach the gospel. And that has resulted in some quarters of Israel objecting to that the gospel would be preached to Jewish people. But also, I think the bigger shot, Jan, in this, is that even inside some of the broader evangelical community, they say it was a terrible thing because it's offensive to the Jews to preach the gospel to them. And it's something to do with what's called dual covenant theology, we're told.
Mm-hmm.
So can you kind of give us the background of all of this?
Yeah, and I'll give you the short form because I actually did radio programming last weekend, and I played a clip. This was before some of this even blew up. That program last weekend was pre-recorded before this God TV thing happened, but I played a clip of a Minneapolis pastor who promotes dual covenant, and he came right out and said, we played the clip, you never witness to Jews because the Bible says all Israel will be saved. And what they mean by that is these folks are suggesting Jews are saved under the old covenant, under the Torah, under various verses that suggest salvation nationally for Israel in the Old Testament. They disregard dozens of references in the New Testament, heavily from the Apostle Paul, about how the gospel is to be taken to the Jew first, that Jesus came only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel when they rejected them. Jesus obviously offered salvation to everyone. And the fact that, again, we are to be taking the only my position on this is the only reason we're here, Fred, is to be sharing the gospel with anyone who will listen. Doesn't matter if they're a Jew, a Buddhist, or a Hindu, or whatever. But then we get into the weeds when we start hearing about dual covenant theology, which teaches that again, the Jews will be saved under Old Testament covenant of Moses, Abraham, etc. This is a terrible false teaching. Just terrible false teaching. And that's kind of what's at play, and I'm giving you the short version again, it's kind of at play in what happened in God TV. And I say, go God TV. I hope this moves ahead. The believers in Israel were very enthused about the opportunity to share the gospel on Israeli television. And then certain Christian outfits stepped in and said, well, we agree with the Jews. You shouldn't be proselytizing Jews to begin with. And I have to say to these folks saying that, what Bible are you reading? Honestly, tell me, what Bible are you possibly reading to suggest that the Jews should not hear the gospel of Jesus Christ?
Right.
So, Jan, what exactly is the law in Israel? Because, you know, I read a couple articles about this, and it sounded like they're saying you can't do evangelism. Is that when the law, what the law states, are they saying you can't share the gospel, or are they
no.
prohibiting something particular?
Well, they're saying you can't share the gospel with, I believe it's someone under 18, and you can't offer a financial reward to anybody to change from becoming, you know, following Judaism to following Christianity or following anything, Mormonism, whatever. You can't do it to a youth, and you can't do it for money. Other than that, if you want to share the gospel, go ahead. It is a democracy. It's a free country. So that's bogus if anybody's saying anything different. Not true.
Now, let me ask one follow-up about this two-covenant theology.
Yeah.
Some of our listeners may not understand. When you say this two-covenant theology, which is clearly wrong, what exactly does that mean?
Again, it would mean that those who believe this, and I'm avoiding names at this point because I don't really want to get into them. There are a number of names, but I am kind of avoiding them. If folks want to write me through my website, I can give them more information. But again, it's that the Jews are saved under the Old Testament covenants, the covenant of Moses, the covenant of Abraham. They just have a unique method of salvation, and it's not biblical. I'm sorry, you can't justify this theology anywhere that the Jews are saved under the Old Covenant. And then they'll take it even a step further. Excuse me, and they'll say what the Bible says: all Israel is saved. Well, what the Bible says, and it's true. Paul says that Romans 9, 10, and 11. All Israel will be saved, and what that means is, during the tribulation, when the tribulation is for the unbelieving world, to punish the unbelieving world and to offer an opportunity for salvation during the tribulation, is to bring Israel to faith. And you'll read in Zechariah that during the tribulation, 2/3 of the Jews are killed. It's God's idea, not mine. But the 1/3 that are spared, God sends them into the desert, probably to Petra, where he preserves 1/3 of the Jews in Petra. At the end of the tribulation, those Jews in Petra see Jesus Christ return in the second coming with us. The church comes with him in the second coming. Those 1/3 of the Jews who see the Lord Jesus come back in the second coming, and then we get to, back to Zechariah, they see him who they pierced, and they mourn for him, and they accept him as Lord and Savior, and those 1/3, all of them, accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior in the as Messiah, and then they go into the millennium with the rest of us who then populate the millennium. They go in with earthly bodies. We've come back in the second coming, and we go into the millennium with immortal bodies that, of course, can't sin, die, or anything else. So that's the short version of all of this. That's what would be known as the evangelical version. I guarantee anybody pushing anything else is pushing an aberrant theology.
Hmm. All right, Jan, are you going to be dealing a little bit more with this on your programs this weekend?
Probably not this, but because I did last weekend, but I will in the future, and I'll get a little bit more into detail, and you know, we can even talk about who are some folks that are engaged, as I did last weekend. It was recorded some weeks ago, and I named the Minneapolis pastor who's promoting this. So I'm just trying to avoid names here right now. But I think we should be praying about this and be praying for those who are pushing this aberrant theology, because they're making a sad difference and influencing other Christians to believe as they do.
Jan Markell, host of Understanding the Times, right here on American Family Radio. We thank you so much, as always, Jan. You take care of yourself.
You. All right, bye.
All right, bye-bye. You know, Ray, the other aspect of this is we're told to take the gospel to the whole world.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And there is one gospel, and Jan mentioned the teachings of Paul. He was a Pharisee. He gets saved. And what is the first thing? He wants to preach the gospel to the Jews and the Gentiles alike.
Right. I'm not ashamed of the gospel.
Yes.
Paul said, it's the message of salvation to the Jew first, he said, and also to the Greek, which is why, read the book of Acts, every place Paul went, every city, he started with his own people, went to the local synagogue.
Yes.
And sometimes people listened, sometimes they didn't. Then when that opportunity was closed to him, he would go out to the lecture halls and he'd go to the marketplace and he'd go to the cafes, so to speak. He would go where the people were, the Gentiles, and preach the gospel to them. This whole two covenant idea is completely alien to the New Testament, completely. Because if we believe anything that the New Testament says, we believe we're to take the gospel, the same gospel that saves Gentiles also saves Jews.
Amen.
It's good news for the whole wide world.
Amen. Chris?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think I know I bring this up a lot when we talk about Bible topics, but it boils down to the fact that you as an individual need to be in the Word to know what the Word says. So that way you can spot these kinds of things. Because unfortunately, in this day and age, a lot of people, they go to church and they take whatever they hear, or maybe they're listening to a show or whatever else, and they take that as their Bible time. And what they're hearing, shared by whoever that individual may be something that is a false gospel or something of that nature. So you yourself need to know what the Bible says. I know it's difficult. I know it's difficult. Pray to God that He would show you what it is that you need to take away and that He would give you the wisdom to understand it and things like that. But I think it always boils down to you as an individual need to be in the Word to know what it says. That way you can spot, hey, that's not right. Or you can redirect your neighbor that may be misled by this dual theology or whatever we called it.
Good direction there. And I'm sure someone who agrees with you on that, because he is one of the finest apologists in this country, I believe, and I'm not exaggerating today, is our own Dr. Alex McFarland, co-host of Exploring the Word, heard weekdays right here on American Family Radio at 3 p.m. Central. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, everybody.
Yes, always an interesting discussion, and as Chris is saying there, Exploring the Word, that's what your program is all about.
Well, it is, and I appreciate listening to you guys. I was on the headphones just listening, waiting, you know, to be brought on, and everything you all say resonates with me. We really need just a resurgence or a renaissance of biblical literacy. Hey, listen to this, guys. 2 days ago, I got a call from the vice president of a major American Christian university, one of the largest Christian universities in the world, and the VP called me and wanted to just kind of pick my brain a little bit, and here's what he said was a real problem that incoming freshmen that go through orientation at this Christian university, and they come from Christian homes. Many went to a Christian school. Many, you know, years in youth group and even youth mission trips. And 99% profess to be believers. But he said during orientation, what they're finding out is these, you know, thousands of young people who profess to be followers of the Lord, they have, what he said, wildly unbiblical beliefs. Mm-hmm. And when you talk about homosexuality being a sin, or when you talk about sex before marriage is wrong, or Jesus is the one and only way to salvation, and other religions, though they may be passionately sincere, but those that reject Jesus are in fact lost, and abortion is wrong. He said that these Christian kids they really push back against the hard black and white truths of the gospel. And he was asking me about, you know, teaching courses on the reliability of the Bible. And I said, we need to do that. And, you know, the manuscripts, I mean, we can definitely defend the reliability of the Bible. But I said, what we need to be teaching is the authority of the Bible. That, sure, it is God's Word. I mean, we can, you know, rationally, evidentially defend that the Bible is indeed the Word of God, but we need to be teaching the authority of the Word of God, that if you accept Jesus as your Savior, then as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6, you know, we are not our own. We are the bond slave of Christ. And, you know, culture may go where it will, but we, the disciples, we follow the Word of God. And I think in America, we desperately need a recommitment to the authority of the Word of God.
Amen. Ray, your thoughts?
Well, Alex, you've raised a great question, so let me ask another one. We clearly, on one hand, we've got churches, we've got seminaries, we've got all these resources available to us here in America. How has it happened How did we get this way, Alex? With this veritable plethora of biblical resources available. I mean, we have far more here than believers in many countries around the world. How is it that we have raised up a whole generation inside the church who either don't believe in the authority of Scripture, or they may believe it, but they don't think it's very important? They don't apply it on a daily basis. How do we get in this kind of fix?
Well, you know, we've been blessed. You know, it's hard to handle adversity. It may actually even be harder to handle prosperity. Mm-hmm. And you know, hey, the Lord has been so good to us. My goodness, America has been so blessed. But I feel like it, from the book of Job, you know, we've been at ease in Zion. And I will tell you, I came along in youth ministry. I was a full-time youth pastor for 11 years. And I think if you're in youth ministry, you're kind of always dabbling in youth ministry. In fact, believe it or not, as I'm doing this radio show, there are 20 college kids in my barn having a Bible study right now. I mean, literally, right this minute. So you're kind of always in youth ministry. But in the early 90s, when I was a youth pastor, all the conventions, they would have themes about, you know, have fun. You know, you can't go too deep. You can't be boring. Because, you know, it's a sin to bore a kid. I mean, that was the theme of several conferences that I attended as a youth pastor. It's a sin to bore a kid. But here's the thing. There's a story told of Bonhoeffer, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, that was going to lead a boys' Sunday school class. And he got in there, and they were throwing paper and being rowdy. And he just sat there, and one by one, the boys left the class. And then it got down to about three. And these boys were almost puzzled that, you know, the teacher, he wasn't trying to placate them. He wasn't saying, oh, please, please listen. You know, Bonhoeffer, it is said, was much more willing to teach three teenage boys that wanted to be discipled than try to placate two dozen that were just there to be rowdy. And listen, I believe we need to go, you know, to the lost sheep and win the one lost sheep, leave the 99. I know that. But here's the thing. In American Christendom, I fear that we've done Christianity light, L-I-T-E. Mm-hmm. And we need to remember that, I mean, the call to Jesus is a call to repent, forsake sin, take up your cross, and we need to stand for the things that aren't always popular, but they are biblical. And we need to say to our, look, I love you, but sex outside of marriage is wrong. Mm-hmm. I love you, you're my friend, but homosexuality is a sin. Abortion is wrong. And we need to care more about pleasing Jesus than being liked.
Amen. You know, I think Satan has many tools today to distract, to confuse. And I think one of the negative impacts, one of the dangerous impacts of this whole response to this pandemic is how we've shut down churches. And I know there's good motivation about health reasons, etc. But there was a story, I think it's on Christian Post, Alex, about how many were so far along now, a couple of months into this, where a lot of folks haven't been inside the doors of a church, that and even though many of these churches offered messages streaming mm-hmm. online, that now we find out that many church members have forsaken even looking at that. In other words, they say, you know, I'm doing fine without going to church, and now it's crossing another line. I can do fine without even watching the sermon online. So I think this is very dangerous, Alex.
Yeah, I agree. And let me tell you, there's a word, soteriology. Soteriology is salvation. How we get saved. And I know the post-World War II evangelical message was, believe in Jesus and you're saved, and someday, decades from now, you'll die and you'll go to heaven. Now, it is true, we're saved by faith. But let me say, when we read the Great Commission, Mark 16:15 and Matthew 28:18-20, it's not just go out and make converts, but it's to groom disciples. And yes, salvation is about going to heaven, but salvation is also about being a follower of Jesus right now, each and every day. And I honestly believe If you said to the Apostle Paul, hey, you know, I don't go to church, I don't watch the live stream, and, you know, I kind of live by my own set of rules, but I prayed a prayer 10 years ago, Paul would say, you're not a Christian. The Apostle Paul, if you're not living for Jesus daily, and folks, this is not work salvation, I assure you. It's not work. But I believe the Apostle Paul would look at a lot of American evangelicals who prayed a prayer years ago, but they didn't, they're not living for Jesus. I think Paul would say, you're not a disciple.
Yeah, well, and I think, too, a lot of people, like, we don't really focus on what disciple means. That's somebody that's sitting and listening and following and things like that. It's not just somebody that goes to church. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, yeah, we Americans, or maybe people in general, just use the word disciple in you know, simply. He's a disciple or whatever not. But, like, what does that actually mean? Let's put it in the proper context. The disciples of Jesus, or maybe those that follow John the Baptist, were hanging out with him, and they were listening, and they were talking, and all these other things. They were spending time following, which is what Alex just said here. They didn't just hang out with him once, hear the Sermon on the Mount, and then go about their day and say, well, I'm going to heaven, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
Well, and you know, a disciple is a consistent, learning, obedient follower. And a rabbi or a rebbe, a teacher, it was a high honor if a rebbe invited you to be their disciple. And I think about, you know, Matthew 11:29, Jesus said, come, learn of me, take up my yoke. When Jesus invites us to become his disciple, I mean, in the Jewish culture, that was a high honor that a respected teacher would invite you to become one of his disciples. Imagine if you know, Andres Segovia or Christopher Parkening, okay, the world's greatest classical guitarist, who's a Christian, by the way, Christopher Parkening. Imagine if Christopher Parkening said, hey, if you want to, you can become my pupil and I will teach you guitar. And you say, not interested. No way. I mean, you would say, oh my goodness, the world's number one classical guitarist wants me to be his pupil? Absolutely. Well, think about it. The Son of God, Jesus, the Savior, says, come, and you're invited to be my disciple. It's a high honor that the Lord would call us, and he does, and we are to be his disciples. And so I fear that some of the secular lost world is not interested in Christianity because we who claim to be Christians don't appear terribly interested in Christianity.
Mm, great point. Alex, we only have, I guess, about a minute and a half left. I want to go back to something you said just a few minutes ago, that you're meeting right now and you've got a bunch of kids in your barn.
Yes, we do, actually.
Okay, you didn't want them in your house? They're out with the cows? Or?
Well, the barn is cool. The barn has some mystique about it. In fact, I'll put a photo of it on the Exploring the Word Facebook page.
Awesome.
Okay.
Hey, Proverbs 3 mentions barns. You should look
does
that up.
It
does.
Cool. Excellent. And so, yeah, you know, we just, our house is a tool for ministry everywhere my wife and I've ever lived. So it's wild. Kids are hungry. I want to say this. Young people are hungry for, yeah, truth, but they're hungry for authenticity. I think that's what they're hungry for, is something genuine.
All right. Alex, what are your brother Bert talking about these days on Exploring the Word?
We're in Exodus 19 this afternoon, you know, every day at 3 p.m. Central Time on American Family Radio. And hey, folks, tune in because we're getting ready to get to the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, and it's very exciting content.
Amen. Amen. Alex McFarland, thank you so much, sir.
God bless you all. God bless America.
You bet. We'll be listening this afternoon. All right. First hour, today's issues for this edition over today. Chris Woodward, thank you so much
thank
for
you.
Your contributions, as always. We're going to take a little break for news, and then Ray and I will be back, and we'll be joined by Steve Jordahl from American Family News. And one of the things we're going to be talking about is social media and the controversy now involving the president and the election campaign. And the president, as we've known him, is ready to fight back. So that story and more here on today's issues right after the news. We'll be back.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.